But for the new people that are coming today, my name is George Thomas Sandridge. I've been going to this church my entire life. So it's truly an honor to stand up here before you guys. And I guess you would consider it preaching. I'm no pastor, but Matt emailed me. I sent him an outline of my sermon, and he emailed me back and said, when you stop running for president, contact me and I'll help you get started in seminary. So I guess that's my future after this, according to Matt. So when I was thinking on what to preach about, I was wrestling with a lot of things. You know, I've had a lot of experiences in my life that I could really talk about. And the core theme that I thought of was faith. Because, you know, we use that every day in our lives. And we talk about it every day. Have faith. Have faith in God. And then we also have faith in worldly things. I'm a baseball fan. Big baseball fan. So I have faith in my Washington Nationals that they're going to win the World Series every year. Even when they're 50 games under 500 or 30 games over 500. And I know Matthew, he has faith in the Braves, even though they're bad. Chase has faith in the Red Sox. Matt has faith in the Redskins, right? Okay. They're not going to do anything, though. But, yeah, we have faith in a lot of things. And I have a book called Baseball as a Road to God. And, you know, you kind of think of the two, how they're not connected. But this pastor, his name is Dave. I can't remember his name. But anyway, he has been a lifelong baseball fan. And he put together 9 chapters to represent the 9 innings of a baseball game. And chapter 2 was titled Faith. And he talked about several instances in baseball where there was faith shown. And one of the instances was Tug McGraw of the Mets in July of 1973. And unless you're a hardcore baseball fan, you probably don't know who Tug McGraw is. But the Mets were just a middling team. They weren't doing anything great. Well, Tug McGraw said, you gotta have faith. You gotta have faith. And guess what? They made it to the World Series. To this day, they're the lowest winning percentage team to ever make it to the World Series. They didn't win, but they made it because the players had faith. And another instance was in Game 1 of the 1988 World Series. A lot of you probably know this. When Kirk Gibson hit that dramatic home run to win and he's running around the bases pumping his fist, that Tommy Lasorda, the manager of the Dodgers, had faith in Kirk Gibson that he was going to win that game. So, talking about all this, you see it's applicable in our life. But we must differentiate between a faith in worldly things and a faith in God. Which brings me to my first point. Faith is not a blind stab in the dark. You see, in worldly things we put our faith in, they have a tendency to disappoint us. And that we have that happen a lot. I know from personal experience, I was on the golf team this year with Matthew, and I had faith we were going to win the state championship. And I had faith every day through the entire golf season. We didn't win, which was a big disappointment, which shows you that worldly things do not support us, do not give us true happiness like God does. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we know he's going to deliver on his promises of eternal salvation. And another point that I have, which kind of goes along with that, is faith is assurance. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, we have... I can't get my Bible open. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their condemnation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And I was reading some commentary while I was preparing my sermon, and I found something online. It says, the word conviction is the same word used in trying and convicting a criminal of a crime. A conviction comes about by a set of irrefutable facts that convinces a judge or jury to assess a penalty, fine, or imprison someone. The decision is made because of evidence that has been provided. The heroes of faith in the so-called Hall of Faith are given in Hebrews 11, and these heroes and heroines all had faith, but their faith was substantive or based upon something tangible. Now, all that, we know that we can't physically see God as a person, but we know of all the miracles and the wonderful things that he's doing for us. And we know that we could put our faith in him because he's trustworthy and he's proven his promises time and time again. Now, my second point today is faith comes from hearing. And this comes from Romans chapter 10, verse 17, which states, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Now, one can come to faith only through hearing the gospel. And what is the gospel? That Jesus died on the cross and rose again to save ourselves and to cleanse us of our sins. Now, faith involves believing what God says and that what he says is completely trustworthy. And as I said in my first point, we know we can trust him because of the numerous miracles he's performed for us. The faith that saves us is not of human origin, but is a gift from God. However, one point. We must be careful about selective hearing in our faith. Now, when we're reading the Bible, there are some good points. And there are also some bad things that it all comes about being a Christian. And when we're explaining the gospel to somebody, we have to tell them all these points. We can't just say, "You believe in God and you'll go to heaven." Oh, gee willikers, sign me up. We have to tell them about all the, not requirements, but the what you have to do. You're going to go through trials and tribulations as a Christian. And we have to explain that these are all parts of being a Christian and going to heaven through faith in Christ. And finally, my third point is, a lack of faith does not please God. And this comes from Hebrews 11:6. And it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." And when I was reading some more commentary about this, and I saw this good example online. And this is from a pastor from Tennessee. He says, "If my young son refused to jump into my arms in the pool, then he is showing me that he doesn't trust me. Obviously, that would not please me because he was afraid and that fear would freeze him from acting." And I believe that's a very good example because, you know, we say that we have faith in God. We say that we trust God. But we shouldn't be scared to take that leap of faith. And you hear that a lot, take the leap of faith. If we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we know that if we take that leap of faith, he's going to get us because he has shown time and time again that he is trustworthy, that he keeps his word. For those who have trusted in, believed upon, and have faith in Christ, then this is well-pleasing to the Father. Therefore, we know that whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. Faith includes belief in God's existence, and especially in God's trustworthiness to keep his promise to reward his followers. And talking about all this, you know, faith is applicable in our life, as I've said before. But we must be careful between having a top layer faith and having a deep, full faith in Jesus Christ. You know, you could say you have faith in Jesus, but is that a full faith? Like, you trust him no matter what? I believe I have a deep faith in Jesus. And I know he has shown time and time again that he's going to keep his word to me. And he's done many miracles in my life. And I know for all of you sitting here today, he's done many miracles for you too. But we just have to be careful about having that kind of top layer faith where we're like, I believe in you, God. I understand. But I don't know if I want to do this or not. I don't know if I want to listen to you. I don't know if I want to do these things. And that in itself is also not pleasing to God. So, in conclusion, just as Tug McGraw had faith in the Mets, or Tommy Lasorda had faith in Kirk Gibson, we as Christians must have faith in God, a full faith. And if Tug McGraw had faith in the Mets, how much more should we have faith in Jesus? We have worldly faith, but those things disappoint. We must have a full faith in Jesus. We know that one day he's coming back to say, come back to this earth, and he'll establish his kingdom for all of eternity. But until then, we must have a full faith that's never wavering. Thank you.